Good morning, everyone. There was a pastor who got up on Sunday morning, and it was just a beautiful, bright, sunny day as the sun comes out right now. That's good timing, Lord. It was a beautiful, bright, sunny day, so he made the decision that he was going to play golf instead of going to church. So he called the assistant rector and he told him, he said he wasn't feeling well, and he convinced the younger priest to take the services that morning. So he hit the road, went about 40 miles out of town to another town so he wouldn't be seen by any of his parishioners if they happened to be out. And meanwhile, St. Peter and the Lord were watching this take place, and St. Peter said, "Lord, are you going to let him get away with this?" And the Lord says, "I guess not." So the pastor stepped up to tee off his ball. He swung at the ball. It went 420 yards on a par four for a hole in one. St. Peter was shocked and said, "Lord, why in the world did you let him do that?" And the Lord smiled and said, "Who's he going to tell?" Sometimes we can become complacent in our life. "I'll study just hard enough to get by. I don't need to do any better than that. I really don't like chores, so I'll just try to get by that. I don't need to take care of myself. I'll just get by that. I don't need fellowship and study God's word. I can get along without it." The thing about complacency is that you can feel so good about where you are for a particular moment, but it can dull your senses for what you need to get out of life. That can also be true in our walk with the Lord. And that is the topic of our lesson today from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet due to his persistent call on judgment and repentance. His words are spoken to individuals and to a nation, the people as a whole. The people of God are losing that connectedness that they had with the Father. They become complacent. What has happened to them? Why have they abandoned him? If you begin to break down this passage, you can see God looking back at several acts of him fulfilling his promises. God is asking, "What went wrong with you? Why didn't your fathers call on me? Why aren't you calling on me? I took you through places man cannot prevail. I led you out of a wilderness. I brought you into a promised land. I did all these things for you, and I provided for you. Now, even your prophets prophesy through Baal and other false gods." And the priests are forgetting about who God really is, he said, and there's not calling on me. It's like they're out playing golf somewhere. And it's really breaking the heart of God. God said, "Go look across the coast. Look across the lands. Look at those other lands. Go see them. They haven't changed their gods, and they aren't even real. They've even brought false gods into their own midst." And God is pleading, Where are my people? Where are they?" So Jeremiah gives this wonderful analogy that the people can understand regarding living water. When we were in New York a few weeks ago visiting our daughter and family, we went up to the Black River, which is about 13 miles from their dairy farm. And there's a waterfall there called Whitaker Falls. And there's a slide of it here for you coming up. There it is. And I thought of this falls as I was reading through these scriptures in this passage. And after we hiked a bit to get to the falls, we spent a couple of hours just enjoying the coolness and the sight of that waterfall, playing in and around the basin of the fall, because it was all rocks. It's not sandy. It was all rocks. It was like a swimming pool at the bottom of it. And you could just play and take in the refreshness of that water. It was constantly flowing, constantly cool on a hot July day. In essence, Israel has given up this spring of living water for a broken cistern Jeremiah says. Now, a cistern is essentially a large holding tank in the ground that can be used to collect rainwater. It would sometimes become stale and brackish, like you see here, or even dry up if there's no rain or if it gets a crack in it. So Israel has given up something that is lasting and refreshing, something that is never runs dry, something that is so full of life, for something that is temporary, something that has no life and becomes stale and brackish. How is it that we can get so complacent in life that God soon becomes nothing to us, or at best secondary in our lives? The writer of Hebrews is expressing the same behavior, not in reaching out and in also in our actions. We give up to the lusts of the flesh and greed, sexual immorality, love of money, the loss of hospitality, neglecting others in our lives, and the list can go on and on. In verse 9, he says, "Do not be led away by diverse teachings." That's why it's important that we saturate ourselves with God's word. That's why it's so important that we stay in fellowship with one another and are accountable to one another. It's easy to go astray in a society that has virtually everything you can imagine at our fingertips. All you have to do is sit down at a computer and you can be off on your own little world filled with who knows what the world is throwing at you. We become like a broken cistern that is nothing fulfilling for us. Now, I'm not knocking technology. I love technology. I use it as much as possible. I'm just saying in today's world, it's even easier to be led astray if we're not careful. It's easy to go along with society and say that, well, sexual promiscuity is okay because society says it's okay. It's easy to cheat someone after all they'll never know the difference. It's easy to get sucked into something that is so good, that is not so good to us and harmful to our spiritual relationship with God. It's easy to say, oh, God's word is just suggestions and guidelines. We don't really have to set boundaries for ourselves. When God, by his Spirit, is crying out, "Where's my people?" The late John Stott, an English theologian, said this in his book, Authentic Christianity, and I quote, "We need to repent of the haughty way in which we sometimes stand in judgment upon scriptures and must learn to sit humbly under its judgments instead." And he goes on, if we come to scripture with our minds made up, expecting to hear from it only an echo of our own thoughts and never the thunderclap of God's, then indeed he will not speak to us, and we shall only be confirmed in our own prejudices. We must allow the word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. Close quote. We can still look around the world and see others worshiping godless idols over the centuries. We have a loving God who came to us in person to call us back to himself. Do we hear him calling? In our gospel reading, Jesus was invited to a dinner at a house of one of the rulers, and Jesus wasn't bashful about going in among those who did not like him. He knew the truth. He is the truth. But this is obviously a setup to trick Jesus, because it is the Sabbath, and with the same, there was a man there with dropsy. Knowing their hearts, Jesus asked the first question that was related to last week's teaching. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And if your son or your ox fell into a well on the Sabbath, would you not pull him out? You see, Jesus stayed true to who he was. He was under constant scrutiny by the Pharisees and other leaders. His faith was unwavering. His heart was steadfast. It was they who were watching that had lost focus. It was they who fell to their own traditions as we discussed last week. And Jesus is speaking right to the heart of the matter for all to hear about putting yourself first in everything, even over God. The point is this: it's easy to become a me generation. It's easy to get caught up in what will benefit me over what will benefit others, or what God wants to do in a particular situation that we might be going through, or that you might be going through. When we place ourselves over everything else, God is taken out of the equation. Our call to serve is taken out of the equation. We can become complacent in our focus on God and our call to serve others. People of God, the words of Jeremiah are as loud today as they were for the people of Israel. God's word never changes. He is calling his people into account. Today, more than ever, we have opened to us opportunities unlike any other previous generation. But listen to this. There's tremendous news here, because the writer of Hebrews reminds us of something else for those who know God. He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can be confidently say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, the Holy Spirit is available to all who would call on the name of Jesus. If we could just really understand the significance of that, that the very Spirit of God can and does empower us. He guides us. He gives us direction and wisdom. He nourishes us. Over the years, our family, as many of you know, have been aware that we are aware of what we eat. And as some of you know, we found out that about 16 years ago that 4 out of 6 in our immediate family have inherited a condition called celiac disease, which is a condition where the intestines are not capable of digesting gluten, which is found in wheat, barley, rye, and malt grains. And we have been cautious in the family about what we eat. And that led to other areas of our lives. Are we eating healthy? What is it we drink? What is it we eat? Is it healthy? We've been looking closer at ingredients. And I've been asking myself, do I want to eat something that I can't pronounce or something like that? More and more people are becoming the same way. They're being cautious about what they feed their bodies. They want to be organic products, not with no pesticides involved. They are looking at genetically modified products to make sure that they're getting healthy food. Now, my point of this is this. If we are so concerned about what we feed our bodies, that which would perish, shouldn't we be concerned, if not more concerned, with what we feed our spirit, which is eternal? The Holy Spirit is that stream of living water that flows through each and every one to be filled. The Holy Spirit convicts us, and his word shows us the junk that needs to be filtered out of our lives. The way of culture, in many respects, is a cistern that is filled with stagnant water and is cracked and leaking. God has made available to us a wonderful gift to walk with him and be led by him. God wants to do so much through the church, but we have to be willing. We have to say to the things that try to get our attention, we have to say no to the things that get our attention off of him. In our little accountability group that the other day that we had a lesson and from Peter. And we talked about how we are living stones. We are the temple of God. And together we make up a bigger temple, that is the body of Christ, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. And there's a reason for that, that we come together and we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us in the world around us. And we grow in our faith in that. It doesn't mean we become hermits. It means that we allow the Spirit of God to work and speak through us and being examples to the world. Because honestly, they're out there searching as well. Call on his name. Get to know him through prayer and study daily. Don't treat God as though he is some distant being off in some other world. He's here. All we need to do is this: open our hearts to him daily. Then walk out that relationship being used by him in what he calls you to do. And allow that river of living water to flow through you. It is so refreshing. It's a lot better than stale, stagnant water that you wouldn't even want to touch. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you want to give us that living water. And Father, I pray for each person here that you, as we grow together, as we continue to pursue the things that you have for us, Father, just allow that river to flow through each person here. And as we step out into the world, allow it to continue to flow, Father. Let people see it, let people feel it, let people be nourished by it as you lead us to talk and share with others. And so, Father, I just praise you for that. I thank you so much that you don't want us to be stagnant. You don't want us to be a leaking cistern. You want us to be filled with your Spirit and to walk mightily in your presence. Father, let us always keep our eyes on you. May we be empowered by you, Father, in those things that you want us to do. And we give you praise. We give you thanks for all that you are doing and will continue to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.